Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Ashley On Air. I am your host, Ashley Rogers. I'm a naturopathic practitioner and herbalist specializing in functional medicine. And today we have a very special show. Dr. Michael Moeller is joining us today, and we're going to be talking all things testosterone and maybe some erectile dysfunction things, and just some things that might really surprise you these days. I know that as I said before, testosterone and low testosterone, low T, is no longer an older man's game. We're seeing low testosterone in younger and younger men. And, you know, we're, as naturopaths, and I think even regular standard physicians, are trying to figure out why. So I really like the crusade that you're on, Dr. Moeller, and thank you for being here today.
Hey, Ashley, I'm really glad to be here. I've listened to some of your stuff before. You put out some great content, so I'm happy to be here and to engage with you and your audience. So thanks. So it's an honor to be here.
Well, thank you very much. I listened to your stuff as well. And like I said, I think you're on a great crusade. And you've got your own podcast, and we can point everybody in that direction as well. But why don't you go ahead and just kind of introduce yourself, tell us where you're from, your story, why you got into naturopathic medicine, and kind of what you're doing now.
Sure, perfect. Dr. Michael Moeller. I am a naturopathic doctor. I got my undergraduate at Southern Illinois University Carbondale in pre-medical sciences. And then I went to medical school at Bastyr University, San Diego. So my story, like a lot of other alternative or natural healers, is that I went through the medical care system, or as I end up usually calling it, the sick care system. I came down with an infection in my bladder, and the medical system, first told me I had an STD, which that caused a lot of, mental turmoil. Like, I had a partner at the time. It was just a mess. Mm-hmm. And come to find out, I didn't have an STD. But they had treated me with antibiotics. The symptoms went away and came back. I had like UTI symptoms, pretty much a lot of burning. When I urinated, had to go off, then a little bit of discharge, just overall not fun stuff. But basically I just got put on antibiotics. It would go away and then it would come back. And after 5 or 6 rounds of antibiotics, it came to the point where I got a cystoscopy, and they have a camera go up inside your urethra and look into your bladder, which is not a fun procedure.
Sounds really fun.
Yeah, that's for those guys out there. That's going up your penis hole. So not a fun procedure. And I didn't get a whole lot of answers. So basically, I just looked into the condition on my own, figured out what things irritate the bladder. I eliminated them. I started sleeping better. I mean, I was in college at the time, doing all the things wrong: staying up late, eating bad. Not just taking care of my body, drinking too much. And I just did a bunch of natural stuff, and knock on wood, it went away. And that was kind of a dawning on me, that, hey, if something like this happens to me or a loved one, I need to be able to figure the stuff out on my own. Also, luckily for me, I was a history major, and at that point I shifted into health education, which health education really is convoluted with a mixture of research that it's very much, whoever pays for the study tells you what you want. The food guide pyramid designed by wheat company, companies that produce seed and wheat. But at the time I was bodybuilding, working at GNC. So I was very much health oriented. And, I was going to go to medical school, but I was kind of disillusioned with the whole medical care system. And then luckily for me, I found naturopathic medicine and never really looked back. So here I am. I graduated in 2017, and now I practice at Shine Natural Medicine in Solana Beach, and then I practice at American Male Medical in Irvine. And my main focus is men's health. I really like the whole optimal living, because that's just something I do. So when guys come in, guys, you got to go in and see the doctor now. Don't wait till you're sick. It's too late. Like, it's an uphill battle. So go in and see a doctor now, get checked up, get your levels measured, and prevent everything, because by the time you get something, it's too late, and you often don't know where the triggers are coming from. So, right now I practice mostly hormonal replacement therapy and, erectile dysfunction. So that's my spiel.
Perfect. It sounds good. And that's so funny how you mentioned, you touched on it briefly. I mean, and it's all of the naturopaths pretty much have the same story. Like, they went through the standard care, something didn't work, whether they were really young, whether it was a parent or a loved one or something like that. But for myself, I went through at a young age and had some things wrong that I could only fix holistically at a young age. But I was also on that same path and doing like pre-med and pre-nutrition studies and learning about, the food pyramid and nutrition and what they were trying to tell us That's exactly what turned me off. I remember the class I was in and the food pyramid, learning who, you know, makes the food pyramid and why they, you know, have these standardized ways that we should be eating. And it was just, it was such a turnoff to me. And that's why I was like, you know what, I got to take a break. I got to like reassess what I want to do. Cause I was like you, so like disillusioned by the standard care, you know,
and our generation too, we're really getting to the point where we take a lot more self-responsibility. Where it used to be, you know, the MD knew everything. You went into your doctor, you listened to him, and now we have Google. And again, always work with a qualified health practitioner. Google can be very deceiving. You know, it's like, I have a headache, and it's like, okay, am I dehydrated or do I have a brain tumor? So yeah. I still get that all the time, you know, and I actually, you know, I encourage my patients to go home, do your own research. And because I want them to feel comfortable with the things that I'm doing, especially when you come to something with like testosterone replacement, there's a lot of negative stigma with it. I had a patient yesterday who we had started on testosterone. I do like a whole presentation with my patients, but he came in and was like, hey, I read on one website that this can increase heart attack. And I'm like, yeah, there's one study, but there's 40 other studies showing that it doesn't. So yeah. it's really easy, especially with the fake news and the media and just everything being really one-sided. It's very easy to cherry pick information. And I think one of the best things to find a good qualified health practitioner is to find someone that just can critically think. You know, before it was just MDs, they got a protocol and then that's what happened. You have interstitial cystitis, like my symptoms, they just give everyone antibiotics because they can't do anything else. They're right. Gonna either cut it or give you a pill. And after that, they're kind of like, well, I don't really know.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, it's so true. And, you know, I think that especially with low testosterone, you know, guys are kind of walking around. Well, everybody is. Okay. So probably just like yourself, I get people in all the time like, well, I have these symptoms and I Googled it. I did my research and I'm like, great. You know, that's wonderful. You know yourself very well. You have to live with yourself every day, you know, so you know these symptoms and you can feel it. I cannot. You know, they basically have the answers and we just have the tools to teach them and to say, hey, okay, yes, like you said, you found this one thing, but that's really what this means. And there's 40 other things otherwise. So I think like you said, we are shifting and learning a lot from our patients and clients because they really, you know, they do their research and we want them to in a way, yeah. Like be careful. But with the low testosterone epidemic, as you called it, in your words, and I think that's such a great word for it, is, you know, guys are coming in and they're like, oh, you know, I have brain fog and I have this and I have that. What all the, you know, all the things, all the symptoms. But my doctor has been telling me that this is normal, you know, and they are very surprised, even, you know, 25, 35, 40, that I say, well, we need to probably test your hormones. And they're like, why? I'm young, you know, and they're surprised by what they find. So tell me about your experiences with some of the things that you're seeing clinically with the younger guys these days in the low testosterone.
Yeah. I mean, the research is now really starting to show us that, one-fourth of men over the age of 30 have low testosterone. Okay. So yeah, if you're 30 years old and you're a guy and listening to this, you need to get your testosterone measured. And all labs for that matter, because I don't treat numbers. Okay. Right. I treat people. And the same thing with imaging. People like will get an imaging done. It's like, it looks like you have a slap tear, but you don't have any shoulder pain. Like, why fix it? So these numbers are very individualized, and that's why you need to see a functional practitioner or someone that just works individually and says, hey, to hell with the numbers, how do you feel? Well, not to hell, but just to like, those are a guiding, they're just there to guide me because some guys, I see their levels, they feel good at 700. Some guys don't feel, you know, some guys feel good at 400. It just really depends on how the body is, how you're feeling, and everyone has a different form of homeostasis. So, you know, like even me individually, when I moved out to medical school at 23, my testosterone was a little bit under 500, which what's really more important is the free testosterone, but just to keep things simple, a lot of times we talk total serum. But again, not really that optimal. But then again, when I remember, you know, coming out of undergraduate, the stress, I was working out a lot, I was burning my candle at both ends. And I heard about the reference range being from, at that point, it was 350 to 1200, which they actually lowered it a couple of years ago. And we can talk about that. Mm-hmm. But just even when I was measuring guys in clinic, when I was an undergrad, every guy was coming back suboptimal. Optimal levels of total testosterone, according to the research, as far as heart disease, Alzheimer's, diabetes prevention, is over 700, 900 range. Those guys just live longer. There was a huge study that came out that showed guys with higher testosterone live longer. And as I got into practice for the last 2 years, I probably run about probably 200 to 300 testosterones, like for initial screening on guys, and hardly any guys are coming back in that optimal range. I'm talking 5%. You know, I can think of a handful of guys that are coming in over 700 to 800. And again, the free is more important, but, and also on my end, I'm like, well, I have a biased population because people are coming in to see me because something's going wrong. But you know, 75% of the guys I test are probably 400 or below, which is suboptimal. Like in 1988, the average 60-year-old had a testosterone around 600 milligrams per deciliter. So these guys, even at 30 to 40, are coming in with a testosterone level that was a 60-year-old in 1988. Mm-hmm. And so they showed that study from 1988 to 2002, the average testosterone level dropped 100 milligrams per deciliter, which is, you know, 20-30%. Mm-hmm. And it's about been 20 years since that study. So I'm assuming that the average levels dropped even lower than that. And the crazy thing about that is that in 2017, the Endocrine Society basically said, oh, well, all the levels are just lower, so our reference range must be wrong. So the range used to be 350 to 1200, and now it's 250 to 850. So they literally, like, if you got your testosterone measured 3 years ago and you're at 1,000, you would be optimal. Now you would be super physiologically high. Right. And I have that all the time where I get my patients to an optimal level and the doctor's like, this is too high. And I'm like, there's no research showing that. You have no research saying that his testosterone is at 1,000 milligrams per deciliter. Show me a research paper. There are some negative sequelae as far as like maybe red blood cell being thicker and prostate and estrogen. But I'm like, as long as we're controlling those variables, there's no research to show that this is dangerous in any way whatsoever. And it's right. Terrible because there's a negative stigma. Like you said, these guys come in, ED, low libido, brain fog, losing muscle, putting on fat, depressed, anxious, just feel like absolute poo. Mm-hmm. And again, is it a chicken or the egg kind of thing? Is it the testosterone is low, so they're feeling this way? Are they feeling this way and their testosterone went down? But we do know that this can help, even if it's just doing things naturally and these guys get turned away. It's sad. It's really sad.
Yeah.
I actually had a friend, he's in low 30s, and all those symptoms that we just talked about, low libido, not feeling that energy. He has two daughters, doesn't feel like playing with them. And he texts me, he's like, hey, Michael, what's going on? I go, hey, go get your testosterone measured. He goes and gets his testosterone measured and it was like 240, which is low. And he's 33. Okay. Yeah. Not 70 or 80. This reference range was made from 18 to 81. Okay.
Yeah.
So 250, you should be like 81. And so he goes in, gets his measured. The doctor's like, oh, you have low testosterone. But in order to properly diagnose you and to have insurance cover, you need to have two levels read underneath 250. He goes back 2 days later. His next levels come back like 265. So just like, you know, 10 points higher, which is 10 points above the range. And again, yeah, if this happened 2 years ago, he would clearly have low testosterone. So he was denied, you know, testosterone replacement therapy. And there are things too. He can do HCG or Clomid at that age, and we can talk about that later. But this reference range is really causing some problems with people. And 50 years ago or 100 years ago, when you didn't have, like, if someone came in and they you know, were feeling sluggish, had low, like, say, felt cold all the time, were losing their hair, gaining weight, like, you would just say, oh, you have hypothyroidism. Here's some thyroid medication, and sure, they feel better. You couldn't measure a lab. And now all these practitioners care about are these stupid numbers, and it's just like, this person sitting in front of you suffering and you're going to deny them and tell them. The worst part is when you tell them, oh, it's in your head, you know, all this other stuff. And it's like, man, we just need a little more compassion. And it's tough. You know, it's tough being a practitioner because we're spending a long time with these people and we are developing a connection. And often when you're seeing a lot of people, you end up putting up a wall. But yeah, I mean, the reference range, it's almost like it doesn't make sense. When I came out of school, I'm like, this isn't even right. The levels need to be lower. And then when I start talking to guys and I correlate, I'm like, wow, no, you have low T symptoms. Your testosterone's low. So here we are, you know, trying to figure this out. And the different, you know, practitioners are kind of all doing things differently. So
yeah, that's so true. And in functional medicine, like you said, when you know, we don't just look at testosterone, there's a lot of other markers that we look at. And that's based on the person too. It's not just, you know, you're not going to do maybe not the same workup. Yes, there is like a slab of things you can do generally, but you know, per person, per symptom, per lifestyle, per what we know about them, like you said, we're spending a lot of time with these people. So we get to know a lot more of their story than say like the standard, what are your symptoms? Okay, take this pill or let's test this. Well, you're in this reference range. Well, another thing with reference ranges is like, what are all the variables? That there are so many different variables, it's almost impossible to put a number on certain things. And I wonder if, and I've been doing some research on And I'm a huge advocate for men's health as well. But a little bit of research on like women and how, when the upswing of birth control started, did society and hormones and how women are picking the wrong partners, how their children are affected in there. Because when you think about it, like men and women too, but boys in the womb, you know, all the things form, you know, all, you know, you're getting, you know, so it's like you have to wonder, do you think that the upswing of birth control in women has something to do with the testosterone epidemic that's going on now?
100%. And I'm pretty sure there are studies that show that how much testosterone a male has is often how many androgens he's exposed to while he's in the womb to the mother.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. And so we know that when women go on birth control, it just, their hormones go all over the place. They get off, they get pregnant, and their body's just like, you know, it basically, we just told your body that it was pregnant from 18 to 30 and now you get off. And yeah, I've seen the studies, the divorce rates. I mean, it makes perfect sense when women, and they've done studies on this, when women are ovulating compared to when they're on their period, they choose different partners. And to be in one state of that for 20 years, you find a partner and they show it. I don't necessarily want to use the word masculine, but when women are ovulating, they tend to choose the guys with like sharper jaw lines, more muscles, a little more, you know, confident. Mm-hmm. And when they are on their period, they tend to choose more of like a sensitive guy, a little more loving, right, a little more like caring. So they're like, they want to mate with a guy that's going to, you know, produce a dominance hierarchy kind of guy, like a son, or daughter, but then they want kind of a sensual guy to kind of help raise the child. So, and I mean, that's just evolution, and we're dealing with all these weird things that have happened in the last 100 years where we're not tribal. You know, we bumped out of that really quick, and now on top you got birth control, you have xenoestrogens, you have just sitting in traffic. People don't think about when you sit in traffic, those brake pads that everyone hits, that those particles go in there and you breathe those in. So yeah, heavy metal exposure, talk, you know, all this stuff. And again, I kind of relate it to the autism things, like, where's this coming from? We don't know, but we see an increase in chronic disease. We see an increase in hormonal dysregulations. All these autoimmune diseases are on the rise. So there's a wide variety of things that are happening. Partly though, we are doing things that prevent a lot of these acute diseases, which is great, you know, antibiotics and vaccines, but it's like, what is that doing to our long-term health?
Yeah.
And like you're saying, we're really starting to see that mess with hormones, which are, you know, are a very important part of health.
It is. It's important part of health, and it's important part of, you know, our generations of the future.
Yeah.
How are they going to evolve or, you know, change over time? And it's like, you know, we're trying so hard right now to pinpoint everything. And I think we're doing a pretty good job. I think we're starting to make waves now.
Yeah.
But like you said, it's everything. There's so many different factors that it's, how can you, I guess in our minds, and I don't know if I can speak for you, but how can you possibly put a reference range on that when there are all these different variables? And like you said, we got away from being tribal, which we were just, I mean, literally like on the time scale, like just yesterday, or maybe even hours ago, you know, we were, you know, mostly indigenous and like all, you know, all of the things. And I grew up in Oklahoma. So, you know, I'm part of the Cherokee and Choctaw tribe and learned a lot about, you know, my history and things like that. I think that's where I get a lot of my like innate, like live off the land, I love herbs, like woo woo plant lady, as everyone likes to say. But I mean, you know, it's, and then from a health and medical standpoint, it's just so interesting to see all of these things changing and evolving for, you know, inside of functional medicine. But then the standard is like, well, you know, you're not old enough to have low T, or like you said with your friend, they have to have two tests under 250. And it's like, what is that? Why? I don't
know. That's like, because our practitioners are controlled by insurance. And that's why I do cash only.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're going to work with me, I can't do insurance, because then they tell me, well, he doesn't have low T, so you can't give him T. And I'm like, who are you to tell the doctor what this patient needs? And that's another just kind of hiccup with our system. There's plenty of things that are going kind of wonky right now, but.
Absolutely. And insurance too. And same, you know, they want to pay you based on, you know, what you, I guess, diagnose and how many people that you see per day. And it doesn't really allow you to have the amount of time that you need to properly, you know, spend the time with each individual, right? Cause you kind of feel like you have to pump them out and go to the next, but you, you're not so against you. So when someone comes to you with low T, you know, you're for, you know, working with pharmaceuticals as well as, you know, other things. So tell us a little bit about how some of that protocol might work.
Well, this has been my biggest hiccup, because in school, and again, it was really self-experimentation and experimentation with my friends while I was in school, where I'm like, hey, you know, our T is kind of low. Let's see if we can get it optimally by doing things right. And guys would tell me, hey, so my T is low, doc, how do we naturally raise my testosterone? It's like, okay, we can do this. You need to quit your job, move to the country, build a farm, have an organic garden, get 9 hours sleep a night, throw your TV away, turn off your blue light blocking glasses, get in a sauna a couple times a day, make sure that you're exercising regularly, low carb diet, you know, like all these things.
Yeah.
Oh. I'm like, oh, that, cause it's like, we don't know exactly where all this is coming from, but I think there's straws that break the camel's back.
Right.
Okay. So I'm all for helping guys attempt to raise their testosterone naturally. And I'll just be blatantly honest. When if you're like 300 to 400, we could naturally maybe get up to 450 to 500, but you're really not going to see a resolution of symptoms. And that's what I'm trying to do with my patients. Sure. And we can mitigate, you know, like everything, like it used to be, oh, well, let's stick to the natural protocol. It's like, you're getting hammered with so many different outside variables that it's not even, you know what I'm saying? It's like, well, like, let's just go walk on the sun because it's natural. It's like, no, it's like there's too many chemicals out there right now, endocrine disruptors, things that are just hammering your levels down. So we end, and that's what medicine is combating it, you know, meet the patient where they're at, stop the bleeding. But you know, so there's plenty of things you can do naturally to help raise your testosterone and that, but what it comes down to is mostly getting rid of the things that are crushing your testosterone, which is lack of sleep, lots of stress. We know cortisol basically shuts off your synthesis of testosterone. I mean, that's been proven. So any type of stress in general. So having too much sugar, not getting enough sleep. And then when we start talking about being exposed to like xenoestrogens, like BPA plastic, shrinking out of water, plastic water bottles, basically that goes into your body and binds these estrogen receptors and it shuts off your gonadotropin releasing hormone, which lowers your LH, which lowers your testosterone. And then a lot of the heavy metals exposures are lowering your testosterone. So the main things that have actually been shown, though, are things that help reduce stress. Like, to my understanding, the really only herb that has double-blind placebo-controlled trials showing that it raises testosterone is ashwagandha. Mm-hmm. And ashwagandha is a great herb because it's an adaptogen, so it helps your body find balance. But also some people, and you've probably experienced this with your patients, especially for guys, a lot of guys will take ashwagandha and they actually get really tired. Because it has some SSRI properties in it. It's a very calming herb. Right. So where guys are like trying to get this oomph, you know, a lot of people do like a Siberian ginseng, but again, I haven't seen any research and I haven't really seen it work in my clinical practice. What you can do naturally is looking at stuff like chrysin and DIM and calcium D-glucarate, things that help, you know, lower estrogen, lower the conversion into DHT. But at the end of the day, what I see being most effective, depending on their age, is using some type of pharmaceutical intervention. And I'll meet the patient where they're at. Like, mm-hmm. I'm very much a doctor as teacher. I'm like, hey, if I were you, I would do this. You know, so two different guys, some guy can come in at like 45 is kind of where you start looking at using actual testosterone. Under that, you want to be using like HCG or Clomid, because that's going to keep the guys fertile, depending mm-hmm. on what they want, and keep their testes running, because once you start giving exogenous testosterone, it can shut down your own endogenous production in your testes and shutting your testicles off. So again, these are just conversations I have my patients. Freudian slip there. So, you know, again, meeting the patient where they're at, what are your goals? What are you looking to do? What's going on in your life right now? And there's even been some younger guys that I'll put them on something like Clomid, and I've seen mm-hmm. their levels go up, and then I pull them off and they stay up. But that's not every guy. And that's why, again, when you're doing testosterone replacement, make sure you're working with someone that has, you know, that's staying up on with the research, and the field's always changing. And getting a lot of reps in was something very important for me, because I learned some protocols in school, but when I came out, I learned really quickly that sometimes those don't work. So, because like a lot of people will do testosterone cypionate, like 200 milligrams once a week, mm-hmm. which often is great. But what I do see is the higher bolus you give at once, like some people do a shot every 2 to 4 weeks, you're going to get way more side effects, as far as you're going to get more estrogens, you're going to be holding more water. You know, your hemoglobin A1 or your hemoglobin hematocrit RBCs can go high. So just really kind of tweaking that. And unfortunately, there's a lot of TRT clinics out there that are like meal clinics that just bring guys in, throw them on mm-hmm. testosterone, see you later, see you in 6 months. And I check in with my guys in 6 weeks. I'm running labs a couple times a year. I genuinely like developing a relationship with my patients. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, I prefer smaller groups, and I work like working intimately and getting to know guys. And like you said, like just because we fix your testosterone doesn't mean your whole life's going to be better. Because why did it happen? Some guys, their testosterone goes up, and that actually causes a rift in the relationship because their partner's not ready. Because, you know, like, especially I had a guy, you know, his wife was going through menopause, and then she wasn't being treated, and then his libido went up, and then he got frustrated, and she wasn't ready, and vice versa. You know, like a lot of women are being treated, and the guys aren't on the level, and then that causes some rift in the relationship, you know, sexually, and then that gets into everything, you know, arguing at dinner and stuff.
Yeah.
So very, you know, long answer to your question is it's very individualized with every guy. There's going to be a lot of things to consider as far as labs. I run micronutrient tests. If you're low in zinc and selenium, like that can cause testosterone deficiencies. So, you know, kind of get a picture of the guy, see where he's at, and go from there.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you mentioned, you know, elevating testosterone. So what about your experience with men young or maybe not so much older, but younger men who have incredibly high testosterone levels for whatever reason, it may be high adrenals, whatever the cause. Mm-hmm. And they just have this insatiable sex drive that they don't know what to do with. Have you experienced that? And what are some of the causes of that? And what are some things that could mean, like as far as, you know, root cause or long-term?
I mean, I think this is where we start getting into some real gray area, especially when we start talking about testosterone levels. We know sperm counts are down like from 100 million to 30 million. Like, you know, 50 years ago, sperm counts used to be up there. And I think in general, just the pace of society and life, I would assume, and when I talk to these older gentlemen who are 60 to 70, they'll be like, you know, my libido's down. I only want to have sex like once to twice a week. And then when I talk to 30-year-olds, like, you know, my libido's down. I only want to have sex once or twice a week. And I'm just like, I'm seeing that a lot. I think our generation in general is we're just so focused on work now. We're just so much more of these stressors as far as finances, relationships. We're not in this tribal community. So I think when you're talking about these guys, you're like, yeah, I want to have sex, you know, a couple, you know, five times plus a week. I think that's pretty normal. I haven't seen too many guys. I will say when I put them on testosterone, that they go super high, and then they're wanting it like once, twice a day, every day, all the time. I say that, like, again, that can be kind of a relationship problem just because, you know, like time, and we're not really focusing, like relationships and love don't really come first like they should, you know, which is, it's a pity. And we're more worried about like, well, I got to get up early tomorrow because I got to work, so I don't have time. I'm too tired to have sex.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, really? Like, you're too tired to be intimate with your partner? Like, what's the point of life? And we're just shifting into this place where our careers and our jobs are more important than our family. And we could get into huge conspiracy theories about that. I'm born and raised in a small town, and I just see the necessity of small communities and getting to know people and the slow pace of life. And from go from that to Southern California, like, I understood very quickly. I'm like, I understand why people are burnt out.
Yeah.
You sit in traffic an hour both ways. Yeah. You're not eating good food. There's lower senses of community here. Yeah. You're one person out of 10 million. Right. And, you know, in a small town, it has its like drawbacks. Like, everyone knows everybody, which can be a good thing and a bad thing. So, but I again, getting back to that, getting away from this tribal feel, is really starting, like, libido is going to be one of the cornerstones of that. Like, what's going on? Like, our bodies are smart. Mm-hmm. We're talking about ED. Like, guys are like, well, why, you know, we had sex, and then I don't feel like having sex again for a week. And your body's like, you need energy. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like, you want to get into the energetic parts of like chi, yang, yin energy. Like, you are trying to, every time you ejaculate, you're trying to create a human life force. Okay. Right. Like, that's not just going to, that just can't be a 15-minute appointment, like once a day, thinking about it and all these, you know, just like, oh, I'm going to turn it on and create a baby. You know, your body is very smart, and it's like, you don't have money, or you're worried about money. You think you have it. You're sitting in traffic all day. You're in a job you don't like. Your relationship with your partner is messed up. Like, obviously, why would you have an erection right now? Because your body's like, I don't have a baby. Like, having a baby right now would be even more stressful.
Yeah, absolutely.
So getting back to, you know, parasympathetic, sympathetic, and on the other end, when your testosterone is low, that really affects your confidence, you know, increases anxiety, depression. And ED is a very psychosomatic thing, on top of the blood sugar regulations and heart disease in the penis.
Absolutely. So, yeah. And I like that you spoke on the energetic part of it as well, because just speaking a little personally, like, my husband, for instance, he is very And I think that's the man and woman difference. I mean, not difference, but, you know, where, you know, women can derive a lot of power from being in tune with their, you know, sexual energy. Whereas men, that's what, like, he tells me he feels more connected. He feels more relaxed. He feels more like his brain is sharper and he can focus. And he feels just like this whole energetic shift whenever he's able to tap into his sexual energy, mm-hmm. you know, have sex regularly and just feel like that part of his manliness, I think, if that's the right word for it, is tapped into. So he's one of the few who he has a very good libido, and I'm very thankful for that, obviously. But you know, you just don't see that very often. You know, he feels, because of the way society is, he honestly feels like, is something wrong with me? You know, I want to have sex a lot. Is that, I'm like, no, there's that, you're one of the lucky ones. You're one of the lucky few, you know, so let's be thankful for that. But yeah, so it's pretty sad that's the way we've kind of shifted.
And these things are often taboo and people don't talk about them. So people don't know. And then people get ashamed, or people get, you know, like a lot of times with ED, you know, guys have been struggling for like 20 years. Before they come in and see me. And, you know, I'm like, oh, great, man. I'm glad you decided to come in and make a shift in your life. But to, you know, to struggle with something like that for 20 years, man, I just, it's one of those difficult times as a practitioner that I don't want to be like, and like drop my job, but also be understanding and be like, hey, you know, that happened. Also, we live in an society that kind of pushes that away. You know, they're like, you know, and we're getting better in that. I think women on average see the doctor twice as often, you know, like guys are just, you know, guys are guys. And
absolutely. They won't go unless it's like broke, you know, falling off, won't get up.
Yep. Yeah. And that's one of my big messages to when guys, when I'm on social media, it's like, dude, just go get your levels checked. Mm-hmm. Like you don't even know where you're at. That was one thing for me as soon as I turned 23, to see where my levels were. And my levels did get sub like 250-ish one time. And I was sick and there was some other stuff going on, but that was like a real wake up call for me, because again, I felt like I was doing everything right. I'm going to ask about the doctor. I'm eating all the good stuff. I'm going to bed on time. But then it's like, okay, was I exposed to high amounts of glyphosate as a kid? I was growing up on a farm. Glyphosate, which is Roundup Ready, has been shown to be toxic to Leydig cells, which produce testosterone. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, like swimming in pools, you have like chlorine and all these other stuff, and then the plastics, and it's just hard to tell where these things are coming from. So as a practitioner, when guys come in, I'm like, we can go down the rabbit hole of trying to find the symptom. But for right now, it's like, that's going to be putting a Band-Aid on a bleeding neck. And that's often where I'm like, we can put you on testosterone now, HCG, Clomid, whatever it is, get your levels up, get you pointed in the right direction. And then you want to do these things. You want to eat right. You want to go to the gym. The hardest thing, I think, for most guys and even practitioners, I have a lot of my friends that are practitioners that make their patients kind of earn their testosterone. They're like, well, once you do everything right for 2 years, and they do it right for 3 months, and they just lose energy because when your testosterone is low, you don't want to do any of that stuff.
Well, like, when you have all these symptoms all the time, and you, like you're saying, your testosterone is low, and you're no energy and all of these things, and you have all these constant symptoms, then you just need that mental break. Sometimes you just need that, like, I need to be, like you keep saying, met where I'm at, and I need these symptoms to stop so I can focus on living the best life. I don't have the energy to keep working for it. So
And who wants to cook when you have no energy? Like, one of the big things I hear from guys is I had a patient and he was on testosterone, went to another practitioner and alternative health practitioner. And they took him off. Like, this is bad. You're like 35. You don't need this. And his T was low to begin with, went back down, and he called me for a second opinion. And he was like, well, I was on testosterone. I felt great. And I just asked him, like, oh, how did you feel? He's like, great. I get up in the morning, I'd go work out, eat well, go to the, go to work, come home, play with my daughter. Me and my wife would cook dinner. We'd have family food. Dinner together. Me and my wife would have sex several times a week. I would wake up and I just felt great. And I'm like, okay, well, what's going on now? He's like, well, I'm working out maybe a couple days a week and it's really a struggle to get out of bed. Work, I can do well at work, but he's like, if I put a lot of energy in at work, then I don't have time for my daughter. And he's like, I have to pick. Do I work hard? Do I play with my daughter? Or do I put a lot of energy into my wife? He's like, I have to kind of pick right now. And I'm just like, let's kind of look at that, man. Let's step back and reflect. And like, this was your life before. This is your life now. Which one do you, how do you want to go through life? And that's another thing that makes me a little bit different. I'm all about optimal aging and living your best life. And I personally would rather live a life like that till I was 60 and die early of whatever thing some of BS expect. You know what I mean?
True. That is so true.
Then live to 70 and live the life you're living now, man. Right. So even if when people are like, well, this could happen, this could, I'm like, well, okay, pick, you know, pick your poison, because unfortunately in life, sometimes you don't get like good and bad. Sometimes you get like not so good and bad. You know what I mean? Like at some point, like, pick your poison.
Exactly. And it's about optimal living and optimal life. You know, you're going to have a few really great, great, great years. Are you going to have this lifelong, you know, thing of where you're just dragging and dragging and nothing is changing for you, you know? So really, you know, I like that you, you know, you're able to incorporate both of those things, because it, and I think that men need it right now. Like, we need a hard stop to kind of, and it's not going to happen, but if you can help just a few people to have a hard stop on these symptoms and things that are happening. And I when you were saying about, you know, oh, I had your friend having the energy to go to work and come home and do the dinner and do the family fun and probably walk the dog and have all the sex and stuff like that, you know, and today was, if we had the same, you know, I grew up in a small town where everyone worked their ass off all day long. Mm-hmm. You know, the community, we had a farm, we had animals, we had a garden, we had all the things. And if I'm just, you know, if the men in my life or even the women in my life had that same mentality, I can't imagine what it would have been like for me growing up. And that was only, you know, 20, 30 short years ago, you know, and I just, if we keep continuing down that path where people just are too tired and don't have time for one another, that's going to be kind of devastating. Mm-hmm. We don't want our kids to see that either. You know, as a mother, I'm like, oh my gosh, and on days that I'm like, I'm just so tired. I feel kind of guilty that, you know, I know, I get it. You have days, you're just freaking exhausted and it's a damn long day, you know, but you wouldn't want to be like that all the time, you know, and it's very concerning that it's you know, happening to men younger and younger. So,
well, and I think the main thing with andropause, you know, menopause is when women do their change, and that happens very abruptly. Okay, mm-hmm. The hormones just kind of shut off, things shift around. Where with guys, it happens very slowly. You know, mm-hmm. like when they're 30, hey, I want to have sex 5-7 times a week. When I'm 40, I want to have sex a couple of times a week. But even now, it's happening from 20 to 30. Like, they lose the muscle. And I think one of the main things that guys don't understand is that testosterone is very important for motivation, and it's very important for just your mental state. When your testosterone is low, like I said, you don't want to do anything. You're just depressed. You're anxious all the time. When your testosterone's high, it's like your chest is beefed up. You're like, all right, world, I'm ready to come out here and do great things. When your testosterone's low, it's like, I don't want to do anything. You know, then you feel guilty about stuff. It's just a negative feedback loop that just spirals you into this, like, this ugly place. And then guys get, you know, it's like depression. When you get in there, you just don't see a way out. You feel guilty about things. You blame yourself. Oh, I'm not a man. I try and tell guys that too. When we have the first conversation with levels, I'm like, this level is not who you are. Okay. Because guys, I go on the Reddit forums and guys are like, oh, I just got diagnosed with low T. I'm so ashamed. How did this happen to me? It's like, look, man, it's like, don't, like, blaming yourself isn't going to get you anywhere. Like, this is where you're at. And let's do our best to get you out of there. Something happened. Let's try and figure it out. But dude, we're going to get you out of this. Okay. We're here. Yeah. We're together. I'm going to help you. And you're going to do this thing. So.
Exactly.
And guys we don't get a whole lot of, like, encouragement, you know, like and I don't know what you think about Jordan Peterson. One of his big messages is just that we were a generation raised on rights. Like, I have a right to this. I have a right to that. And our rights, your right becomes my responsibility. You know, like, if you have the right to do something, it needs to be given, like, universal healthcare, which we don't have to get into that. I'm a little bit against, because I'm not included in universal healthcare, which I think is BS. But universal healthcare, which becomes someone's right, then becomes someone else's responsibility. Yeah. That becomes my responsibility to give you that service. And on the other end of that yin and the yang is, like, we need people to be responsible, and we need people to find meaningful things in their life to do. So it used to be all about, like, okay, I have the right to be free. But how do you get free? You have, like, soldiers dying for you. You have, like, people in offices, you know, like, the governmental office is putting in legislation to make us free and doing all these things. And there's a balance of that. And I think we're starting to find that out. And I think a lot of men's meaning, and this is like chicken or the egg, why did testosterone go down? I think a lot of men are just losing meaning. And I'm all for women's rights, and I'm for getting women in the workforce. But when you look 50 years ago, a lot of men's meaning just came from providing for their family. And so now we're having to, like, shift that a little bit. And guys are, you know, and then some guys go off the freaking handle, and then they just work like animals 80 hours a week. Elon Musk says that. He works like 80 hours a week. But people talk about, like, being crazy. It's like, that's why he makes billions of dollars. But it's like, is that healthy for every male in society to do? Yeah. I think that was kind of a message for me. Yeah. Was like, go out and work real hard and make a lot of money. And then I'll be 30 this year. I'm just kind of like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to like have a family. I want to have friends. I want to, you know, do all these things. And in order to compete now, it's like, you gotta push things to the limit, which is
Yeah. And you touched on it a little bit, and women's rights are important. I guess everybody's rights are important, but we need to take responsibility. Everybody needs to take responsibility for everything. And I think a lot of it too goes along the way with masculinity has taken on
it shifted,
but I think it incorrectly. I think masculinity has been suppressed when really we don't need to be suppressing masculinity. We need masculinity. We need our men to be good. We need our men's testosterone to be good for the future of our generations to come. And it's not, yes, women are wonderful and we play an integral part of that, but really I think people don't understand the importance of, you know, the masculine role in our whole everything as, you know, universe and a society. But okay, so I think we're about to get cut off. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm gonna put, you know, links to all of your things. Do you have I know your Instagram, but a website or anything else?
Yeah, drmichaelmuller.com. My Instagram's dr.michaelmuller. So you can find me pretty easy. I'm on Facebook and stuff too. So,
well, thank you.
It was a pleasure, Ashley.
It was absolute pleasure. Have a great day, and thank you again.
You got it. Take care.
Bye.